Oh no, of course. I start up and the camera's always off, even though I double checked it this time. I just on a different layout.
2 seconds, hold on.
There we go. Okay. So, welcome, nerds. This week is going to be a little bit different than last week. So, yeah. Little bit of an explanation for what the hell happened last week. So, trying new things, trying to maximize the places where I can broadcast to. In so doing, I was looking for a restream service so that I could stream to, at the very least, YouTube and Rumble. So I'm setting up streaming on Rumble and see that they have something that will restream for you. It'll go directly to Rumble, and then it'll go on YouTube, and it'll go on basically anywhere you have an RTMP key. So I was like, well, all right. But it does note that it was in beta, or still is in beta. That beta does not communicate with their already existing live streaming services. Also, that beta does not give you RTMP keys at all. You have to use your camera, which with OBS, you can use the visuals for OBS as a camera. It's called, virtual camera, which is why you could see everything I wanted you to, but you couldn't hear the background music, and if I had tried to stream, that wouldn't have worked either. Or if I had tried to game. So, yeah, the other thing, there is RTMP key through Rumble, the static RTMP key, because they generate a new key for every broadcast, apparently. They have a static key option, which is also in beta. And those two betas do not communicate, let alone, nor do they communicate to the existing streaming software stuff. So it was just a bit of a mess. And I found all of this out throughout the course of last week's stream. So that explains that. And then we had a couple other issues with the re-upload of the VOD. This was new to me as well. Apparently, YouTube, because I wanted to upload the VOD that had all of the music with it, because my OBS is recording the background music, is recording everything that's going on. But apparently, my OBS screwed up the beginning part of the stream. So basically, everything up until we got like 2 or 3 songs into the Loudwire list was the audio was all over the place. It was skipping around. It was digitizing. So that killed that as well. So I had to re-download what YouTube and or I think Rumble gave me the option to download first. So I think I got it from the Rumble server. But so because of all those audio issues, I then cut out a bunch of the dead space because we were having all those issues. So the upload is not a perfect VOD from last week. Hopefully I have sorted out the OBS issue. We will attempt next week. We will be trying to do a restream situation, but we are not going to go through Rumble unless they get it fixed in the next 7 days. That is assuming also that next week we do have a stream because, oh yeah, no, probably not going to stream next week. It's Christmas Eve. I take that back. So Merry Christmas to anyone who celebrates. We will be the next 2 weeks will be dead as far as live shows go. We will be very likely, that kind of creates a little bit of a schedule issue, but we'll very likely have at least one reaction video going live on the channel, so look forward to that. I have seriously like almost 10 songs that I want to do reactions for, and I have not yet been able to, so there's things going on in the personal life. The work schedule sucks, and my landlord sucks, so there you go. All that being said, I do appreciate your faces. Once again, a big shout out to Mr. Chris for being a hardcore fan. I appreciate you, sir. Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well. Like I said, look forward to some... Look forward to some reaction videos in the near future. Oh, and my dog wants to join. Hi, buddy. Do you want to get up? Can you get up? You're just going to sit there? Okay. All right. So, then there is one more announcement that I really must get out of the way. Oh, and I'm not even looking at the picture that I wanted to be looking at so I could do this. But, you cannot tell because it's not affecting my throat or my nose, but I am sick. So this week's stream will have probably a little bit less in the way of things, but I did all the promo for it, so I needed to get it up. If we cut things short or if I don't properly excuse myself and we're just suddenly on the Be Right Back screen, you'll understand why. But... that means at the very, very least, we need to get to... I need to make this bigger. We need to get to Craven. We need to get to Clayface. We need to get to Malcolm in the Middle returning, because these are the ones that are on the thumbnail. And then Mass Effect 5, we're going to be talking about all of this. So, 1 second, let me go get my dog to stop screaming his head off, and we'll get into the news. Find my headphones for a moment. All right, let's get into it. Let's start. Let's do the thing first. Whishasha. Shusha. Let's start this guy. Vertical stream recording or vertical video, whatever. Oh, hey, look, the dubby button's working. That's right. I fixed that too. Before we do get into the news, thank you to Dubby for partnering with the channel. Legit an energy drink that I drink regularly and thoroughly enjoy. Lower on the caffeine, lower on the fake sugars, just higher on flavor. Like, their Calio Cream is one of my favorite orange cream flavors. What is the punch one? I can't think of it right now. But their tropical punch is also quite delicious, so good on me for leaving the Dubby thing up so I remember to drop the spot. Now let's get into the news. Oh boy. All right. So where I've been sick, so I did not bookmark things like I was supposed to. Apparently we are going to be talking about Mass Effect first because that's the first one I saw. So there has been a lot of Sweet Baby Ink rumors dealing with Mass Effect, the next game. That's kind of your context for why this is a rumor. So let's get into this. Is a rumor, though, as the article very clearly states at the top. So we don't know this explicitly. We also don't explicitly know that they were going to Sweet Baby us, that they were going to go all DEI and nonsense. So there's that. But the article reads, it is claimed that BioWare is removing woke content from Mass Effect 5 amid backlash in the gaming community. Again, what backlash? Like, are they reacting to the rumor that Mass Effect was going to be woke? Because that seems a bit excessive, though kind of to be expected. Continuing on, similar to how Hollywood has gone bust due to woke content, there hasn't been a new Star Wars movie in years. How'd it work out for the MCU and the Marvels? Doctor Who is suffering from its lowest ratings in its 60-year history. Gaming industry is also going bust. Warner Brothers recently confirmed that the woke Suicide Squad game led to a $200 million loss. WB Games woke Mortal Kombat is reportedly canceled and no longer in development, no longer developing new content. We talked about that last week. There is still a glimmer of hope, but that glimmer is fading. The more we don't hear from NetherRealm, the more that glimmer goes dimmer. Additionally, there are claims that the gaming awards, voted on by woke gaming journalists and not by the actual... Well, some of the categories were by fans. Snubbed Black Myth Wukong for Game of the Year. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It's also been alleged that GTA 6 is going woke in a big way. Though, I don't think that should surprise us either. I think Rockstar kind of has always had those kind of politics in their company. So... for that to be newsworthy, I think, is silly. Now, news that BioWare is removing woke content from Mass Effect 5 follows BioWare's woke Dragon Age, The Veil Guard, reportedly also seeing a big flop. Yeah, absolutely a big flop. What is said about Mass Effect 5? The rumor comes from a Reddit user who claims to be a dev on the game who started a thread titled, "I work as a contractor for Mass Effect 5. I do QA. I have a warning for you." Okay, interesting. The Reddit user says BioWare had a meeting and wants the woke content removed from the game. Let's correct ourselves there, Cosmic Book. Yo, if you are not... I'm just going to go ADHD here real quick. If you're not currently reading... Oh, no. Crap, I don't remember the name of their... Do I have it bookmarked? I think I have it bookmarked. The trash one. Why can't I think of it? Giant freaking robot. It's not a source. It's just a bookmark. Whatever. There is a website. I shouted it out a bunch on the X account. Tools, maybe? Shouted it out a bunch on the X account, and it's run by... It's run by the guys that do Cosmic Book, or the guy that does Cosmic Book News. It's like what Rotten Tomatoes should be. I really am drawing a blank. I'm so sorry. We will look it up at the end of the episode. I promise you. Anyway, back to what this Reddit poster who claims to work for or contracted by Massive or BioWare says. Reddit user says BioWare in a meeting and wants the woke content removed from the game. In other posts, dev also claims that the quote current build it has pronoun selection. Oh boy. The quote from the post says, "Got an all-hands-on-deck meeting last week. Devs were asked to delay features." Again, proper spelling here, guys. "Art and content that may be deemed woke or political, and defer them to future patches as CAS? We were..." Oh, QAs. There we go. "As QAs, we were tasked to report if we audit or detect anything that might resemble them so they can be fixed. The company wants to launch the game as clean as possible and introduce, quote, woke stuff silently through patches. I fear this might be industry-wide. They wouldn't be issuing this so early otherwise. So tread carefully." Developer claims that BioWare plans to remove woke content from Mass Effect 5 before release, but intends to include it in DLC. Grums on X suggests that BioWare really means is the content will never see the light of day. Quote, "This rumor is going around that BioWare is asking for woke content to be paused and delayed, perhaps patched in at a later time. I can tell you this, when management says delete this now, they don't really plan on adding it in later. They're saying that to keep their activist employees from rioting." Yeah, are they though? Like, all right, so let's talk about this tweet real quick, shall we? Because yes, we are getting a new Return of the Living Dead movie. I saw that as well. We will get to that in a moment, sir. I will add that to the list just because I know your game is the horror stuff. But so they don't really plan to add it in later. They are saying that to keep their activist employees from rioting. The way I read this is, as it stands right now, they're not stupid. They understand they're losing money. They understand that the industry is losing money, more specifically. they also see, they have eyes, and they are on the internet from time to time, or they have a staffer do internet things for them, so they are aware, at the very least, of the pushback to all of the DEI woke nonsense. So, they're pulling it out at launch, absolutely. There is, in spite of what I'm about to say, there is very probably, there is a likelihood that it will not be added in later, because they're probably doing this to see how it sells sans garbage. So if they don't put in the garbage, they're going to be like, okay, let's see if we give them what they want, will they actually buy it? Which, right now, with the economy being so great, I can't imagine it's going to be incredible sales, but if they do get rid of this content, then it will be better sales than Veilguard, for sure. So, if it hits a certain level of sales, then they'll go, see, it did work, we're not going to add the woke stuff in. However, if they don't hit this, whatever the number is, I have no idea, but if they don't hit that magic number, then they're going to release it through DLC, like they're saying is the plan right now, because they're going to feel like that's the proof they were looking for. See, the people who like this stuff didn't buy it, so we didn't sell as many as we should have. This really can go either way if it is true. It is a rumor, so take it with a grain of salt. There's probably not much left to this article, but let's double check real quick. Mass Effect 5. Yep. Oh, okay. All right. So then the other one that we wanted to get to very explicitly was, oh, the Clayface thing. We'll do Clayface movie and then we'll do Dawn of the Dead. Or not Dawn of the Dead. Return of the Dead. Return of the Living Dead. I know words. All right. Where is it? It's down. There's Craven. There's Clayface. That's not the article I wanted, but it will suffice, I think. So we got confirmation since we last spoke. Actually, that might have been one of the things that I forgot about in last week's episode. There were a couple of things that I forgot about, one of which being the title of the thumbnail that I made. So we'll talk about that at the end of the episode as well. But James Gunn confirms Clayface is DCU, said to be lower budget horror movies. So we are getting a Clayface movie. This was rumored for some time. This is confirmed now that it is, in fact, getting released. We now know that it will be a proper DCU title. Here's the article, I think, that I wanted to read. Let's open that in a new tab and see what happens. Yeah, there it is. Recently announced, DC Studios Clayface movie is moving forward quickly as the flick now has a release date. Rumors also offer the movie will be set in the Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson Batman universe, which that other article is countering. DC announced that Clayface will be released on September 11th of 2026. Wow, that is really, really quick. Prior to the Batman Part 2, October 6th. Rumors offer Clayface will also be part of the second Robert Pattinson movie. That one, we've been hearing those rumors for some time. So, more likely, will we see her in Supergirl? Yeah, probably not. Gunn confirmed on Threads, because he's ridiculous and only wants to live in an echo chamber, including an image of Clayface from the comics with Batman, which is this one apparently that he shared. Exciting news out of DC official studios today as hashtag Clayface, a DCU story from a script by Flanagan Film, has been officially greenlit. Oh, it's Robert Flanagan. That's kind of cool. Premieres in 2026. We already know it's not Elseworlds. What do we know about Clayface? Let's go back to the other article now and see what the update is to this news. THR adds that the idea is to make Clayface a horror movie in the $40 million range, adding in another effort to show the diversity of the DC Studios slate. I really doubt they're going to go with this version of Clayface, but you never know. The writer is a big fan of Batman the Animated Series, which totally flies in the face of what I just said. It's known that Michael Flanagan pitched the Clayface years ago as a horror slash thriller slash tragedy. He is writing the script. Flanagan's background is horror, including Midnight Mass, Dr. Sleep, Haunting of Hill House, and a bunch more, obviously. But I'm trying to think of Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor. There you go. Bly Manor as well. Both fantastic series. Midnight Mass also, I feel like, a little underrated. It's learned the writer-director's big fan of 90s Batman animated series. That's awesome. THR says, fun fact, Flanagan loves the Clayface episodes from the classic Batman the Animated Series. Batman the Animated Series actually changed Clayface into the shape-changing monster most fans know, and with James Gunn confirming the news, it's with a similar image from the comic, which it seems the movie will indeed use the blob-like version. The original version in the comics was Basil Carlo, a washed-up actor who turned to crime using the persona from one of his horror films. That is the one that they went with for the new Batman series on Amazon. That's the end of the article. We already read his tweet, so we know. That's right, I called it a tweet. What? What was the next one? Does this still not work? Oh, hey, maybe it works. Nicholas Holt shows off Batman voice. Hear it for yourself. Witcher 4. Oh, yeah, that's one of the trailers that I have downloaded as well. Divers 2. Weird. We've seen these things. All right, what was the other one that I wanted to talk about? Let's check chat real quick. Oh, yeah, let's go to Return of the Living Dead. Let's do that. I'll pull it up in a different browser just so that I don't have to waste your time. Go to bloody... Oops. Bloody Disgusting. Okay, so then we search for, or do we not have to search? Yeah. All right, this is one of our first Be Right Back moments. This should be fairly short. Give me just a moment, please. And we're back. Make sure everything's still up and running. We're good. Now go find this article. Search. Let's just search. Return. There we go. Oh no, this is about to get interesting. Okay, so we're gonna copy that URL. We'll paste it over here. How about that? Paste this URL. Oh, come on, Vivaldi. You can do it. I believe in you. There we go. Oh, spike. So we're probably going to have a little bit of an issue in the VOD there, but whatever. So, let's start here, because this is from 5 days ago, and then we'll work in reverse. So we have Return of the Living Dead, two exclusive images from franchise's Return T's Christmas theme. We've learned just about a year ago that the rights holders for Living Dead Media were developing a reboot of the Dan O'Bannon-created horror comedy franchise, Return of the Living Dead, which hasn't spawned a new movie in almost 20 years. This week, Bloody Disgusting has learned that a big announcement is going to be made by the team tomorrow, December 13th, which was, 4 days ago now. In the meantime, Living Dead Media and director Steve Walsh, Muck Kill Her Goats, I don't know that one, have provided Bloody Disgusting with two exclusive still images from that upcoming Return of the Living Dead movie, suggesting the project is still indeed happening and coming soon. Both exclusive images tease a Christmas/winter theme for the next installment in the Return of the Living Dead franchise, the first one seemingly teasing a chilling new take on Tarman. Really? Is that what that's supposed to be? He's definitely got Christmas ornaments attached to him somehow, so I don't think I realized that was supposed to be Tarman. All right. And check out the images below, plus a teaser from Friday. And then it just kind of explains what that is. All right, so then we go to Return of the Living Dead, Tarman returns in teaser trailer. Oh, this is the trailer itself, isn't it? So we're not going to watch this because we're only on YouTube right now, and YouTube will take us down. So that was Tarman. That's awesome. After five films and a 20-year break, the Return of the Living Dead franchise returns next Christmas. The brand new sequel to the original classic, and we've got the teaser trailer from the Living Dead Media and director Steve Walsh. Christmas theme sequel, themed sequel Return of the Living Dead will be shambling our way for Christmas 2025. The footage shows iconic Return of the Living Dead zombie known as Tarman dragging a Christmas tree through a cemetery as a blizzard rages around him. Ha! That's kind of hilarious. New story takes place in a small Pennsylvania town over Christmas and is set in 1985, 18 months after the events of the original film. That's pretty dope. Fans of the film will know not to expect to see any returning characters given their terrible fates in the original. Yes, this is true. Living Dead Media explains, according to Walsh, this is not a reboot or a remake, but a brand new adventure that won't in any way trample the original film's legacy. Audiences can expect to be welcomed back into the dark-humored, sexy, edgy, trioxin-fueled world of horror fans first encountered in 1985. That's awesome! Visit returntothelivingdead.com for more, including exclusive behind-the-scenes clips. So go check that out. That's pretty awesome. And then, this is where it gets really interesting, Linnea Quigley announces her own Return of the Living Dead sequel. There on the screen is Linnea Quigley. She's very famously in this movie for a number of reasons, and we're not going to necessarily get into those details. If you've seen it, you know. She's the one that says, you ever fantasize about what it might be like to be dead? I might have got that quote wrong a little bit, but you know what I'm saying. She's also in Demon Knight. She's also in just a long line of horror from the 80s. She's kind of an icon. Let's just leave it there. So this article talking about her announcing her own sequel, because if you remember a few months back, we talked about the fact that they were battling very similarly to the Jason Voorhees situation with New Line Cinema and the original writer for the first movie. That apparently got sorted, at least stateside. International rights are still a mess, but at least we have some sort of forward motion there. This one doesn't seem to have made much forward motion. So let's get into it. We learned last week that the long dormant Return of the Living Dead franchise will return next Christmas with a brand new sequel from Living Dead Media and director Steve Walsh. The Christmas themed horror sequel set in 1985, which we just read. Oddly enough, that's not even the only Return of the Living Dead movie on the horizon. Remember that legal battle over the rights that we reported on this past summer, like I just said? Well, it looks like the other party that had been competing with Living Dead Media on the rights, Return of the Living Dead Originals LLC, has come up with their own sequel project titled Trash's Revenge. So she's going to come back as a zombie? I'm being a little loud. I apologize. So, while Living Dead Media's sequel will not feature any returning actors from the 1985 horror comedy classic, Trash's Revenge is set to star Return of the Living Dead actress Linnea Quigley. Iconic Scream Queen memorably played the character Trash in Dan O'Bannon's original, and she announced the upcoming sequel in a video this week below. We could probably watch that one because I doubt we'll get struck for that. Quigley teases that Trash's Revenge will also feature other Return of the Living Dead cast and is being crowdfunded with a campaign that is launching January 20th. So Living Dead Media funded their own. She's trying to fan fund for her version. Interesting. Billed as part of the Return of the Living Dead universe, Quigley's Trash's Revenge is said to be a tribute to the passionate fans who have kept the spirit of Return of the Living Dead alive. Looks like Quigley will be joined by fellow Return of the Living Dead star Beverly Randolph in the new movies. Interesting. How? A lot of plot synopsis from the project pre-launch page on Cinebacker. As the saga continues decades after the horrific events of 85 classic, Trash, the notorious punk rocker played by Linnea Quigley, finds herself trapped in a past where fame has faded. Once rebellious icon, Trash now embraces the persona of a grotesque Norma Nesmond from Sunset. So they're going to play it like she didn't die. Dumb. Attending conventions to sign autographs while her co-stars rise to greater heights. For Linnea, her legacy as a star of Return of the Living Dead becomes both a curse and a twisted ticket to notoriety in an industry obsessed with horror and scandal. But when a young filmmaker approaches her to make a documentary with staged reenactments from the original film to celebrate the film's 40th anniversary, Linnea sees an opportunity to reclaim her place in the spotlight. This sounds... Oh, this is not... I don't get it. They're interchanging her character name and her actual name. As the documentary delves into her past, a shocking truth emerges. Return of the Living Dead wasn't just fiction. Part of it was real. Linnea confesses, oh, I see. Just read to the end, right? That she still possesses three original canisters from the film hidden away in her basement, canisters that were never revealed to the public. Until now. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that one. That's really weird. That's a really weird take on it. That's like the new Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, how they treat the original movie like a myth that has some basis to truth, but it's not exactly how it happened, what we saw in the movie. So, very interesting. Let's go back to chat. Yeah, Terrifier 2 was a Christmas horror movie. Yeah, maybe. You might be right. There's also an insane lack of Christmas horror. Good Christmas horror, I should say, because there's plenty of Christmas horror out there. There's plenty of really bad horror movies out there. But, like, well-executed good stuff just is not readily available as it stands. So, yeah, Terrifier 2 was a Christmas movie. I honestly haven't seen 3 yet, so what do you think of it, Chris? But I'm going to leave that to you. We're going to go for one more real quick. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. I remember the trailers. I don't remember the actual movie. I think that's what I was... Yeah, okay. So we're going to do a BRB real quick. I got one more thing I got to go take care of far away from the computer on the other side of the house. 1 second. Moving right along, since that's what we got for Return of the Living Dead, let's go to the Kraven story. How about that? Go back to the main page, because I'm pretty sure it's still here. Yeah. Kraven is a bomb. This very well could be the end of the Sony universe, is the way they're billing this. Oh, pardon me. I'm so sorry. Ouch. Hurting because we're sick. All right, so Kraven bombing box office with $11 million. Sony Marvel reboot in the works? Question mark. Kraven is bombing big time at the box office, even worse than Madam Web, if you can believe it. And that... Now it's said Sony may be rebooting its Marvel universe. I have not seen Madam Web. I probably will never watch Madam Web. I plan on watching Kraven, probably not while it's still in theaters, but once it hits Netflix, like Madam Web and the Spider-Verse movies do, I'll probably watch it there. That being said, my dad just saw Kraven tonight and said that it's not bad. He absolutely hated Madam Web and said that Kraven was actually watchable. So, I don't know, take with that what you will. I trust his opinion, but he's also my father. So, Thursday previews are embarrassing. It's reported that Thursday previews are only bringing in $2 million, and it's looking like Kraven will open to a $12 to $13 million weekend. Update, it's lower, see below. Oh boy. Madam Web actually opened on a Wednesday, Valentine's Day, with $6 million. Reported at the time the dads and boys showed up. Thank you, Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney. Well, neither the dads, the boys, or the girls showed up for Kraven. Madam Web went on to open to $15.3 million and finish with $100 million while still in the box office. Kraven's first Friday is also reported to be $4.7 million. Oh my god, literally nobody saw this movie, which includes the $2 million from Thursday. Morbius's first Friday came in at $17.3 million, but that was because we hadn't properly been burned by Sony yet. So that was the first official hard burn, and then Madam Web kind of rubbed salt in the wound, and now Kraven, which seems to be a better... made movie, if still poorly accurate as far as the comic book lore is concerned that they use in it, Yeah, that's I don't know that's a fair comparison, but whatever. Another bomb from Sony Marvel, opening to $39 million, finishing with $167 million. Transformers 1 recently bombed with $129 million worldwide gross. Wow. Its first Friday was $9.5 million, Saturday update. Kraven brought in $3.75 on Saturday, lower than Friday. Madam Web's first Saturday, $6.4 million. Oh, man. Morbius, $13.1 million. Sundays see only... Wow, $2.46 million. Madam Web's first Sunday was $4.6 million. Morbius was $8.5 million. Reportedly, Kraven will open to only $11 million. So here comes the rumor part, I think. Because The Wrap is not always a credible source. Sometimes, I mean, they do some reporting on actual news, but this seems like it is not actual news. So, while The Wrap said Sony is done with Spider-Man spin-off movies and instead focusing on Spidey with Spider-Man 4, The Third Spider-Verse, and Spider-Man Noir, both Deadline and Variety are stating that that's not the case. In Deadline's article, where it sounds as if those involved with Marvel at Sony are in panic mode trying to convince bosses the pandemic is to blame, oh good lord, that the World Series is to blame for Venom 3. Really? There are that many people watching the World Series that we didn't watch Venom? Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. And the script changes caused Madam Web to fail? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The article says, we understand the studio is taking this misfire very seriously, and a reset is in store for the non-Spider-Verse and non-Tom Holland Marvel properties. In addition, the article offers something everyone has known since Venom, The Last Dance, and Morbius. Sony has lost Marvel fans. No shit. One razor sharp motion picture marketing source told me recently. That's from the Deadline article. Kraven Box Office. Critics also haven't been kind to Kraven. Rotten Tomatoes score is now 41%. The fan score is better at 81%. Not all good for a superhero movie. Speaking of, the cinema score is a disaster at a C, which is bad even for horror flicks, which generally receive lower cinema scores. Ooh. Yeah, that's a little yikes. And then we have Malcolm in the Middle. Oh, are we going to be able to find that one? Let's see. Let's just see. Frankie Muniz, where you at? Because I thought this one was really interesting, too. Let's go to chat real quick. Venom movies aren't the best, but they are watchable. Yeah, I would absolutely tend to agree. I still haven't seen Last Dance, but the only movies that are good are the Venom movies. Of the Spider-Man-less movies, yes. I think that was... I think that's a very accurate statement. What did you think of Last Dance? Because that's another one I'm waiting for to hit streaming, because I really don't care about the Sony movies as far as the theater goes. I also have another question about Christmas for you there, sir, but answer that one first. What do you think about Venom 3? Let's go back to finding that article real quick. Frankie Muniz, where you at? Probably not here, because something weird happens on Cosmic Book when they archive articles. So let's try to search. Let's search for Malcolm. I'm pretty sure I got that here, that image for it. Why does search take forever on these smaller sites? I don't get it. There it is, right there. Frankie Muniz. So, Malcolm in the Middle is returning. We have new episodes coming to Disney+. I was a bit of a fan of this show when it first came out. I'm I don't know that I've watched every episode. It's not one of my absolute favorite sitcoms, but it was really well done, and I really, really dug it. So I understand why Frankie Muniz was so beloved because of this show, and then how it was really hard for him to get work in Hollywood afterwards because everybody saw him as Malcolm. But let's read the article about this, shall we? Disney Plus is reviving the beloved sitcom Malcolm in the Middle for a limited 4-episode run, 25 years after its original debut. Fans of the show can look forward to seeing Frankie Muniz, Bryan Cranston, and Jane Kaczmarek, I think that's how you say her last name, reprise their iconic roles as Malcolm, Hal, and Lois. Watch the video announcement below. In these brand new episodes, Malcolm and his daughter are drawn into the family's chaos when Hal and Lois demand his presence for their 40th wedding anniversary party. Oh, this already sounds freaking awesome. Malcolm in the Middle is a landmark sitcom that captured the essence of family life with humor, heart, and relatability. So, yes, I realize we bemoan as a community remakes because they're really just cash grabs. I think this is one that fans of this show have kind of wanted for some time, so the fact that they're finally getting it is awesome. Also gives you a little bit of hope that something else might get some sort of revival short series. I'm looking at you, Firefly. It's kind of lazy. I understand, but I'm also kind of hyped for this because, like I said, Malcolm in the Middle was dang good. It was a really cool take on a very familiar genre, and I think it's absolutely worth it for 4 more episodes. It's kind of like the Gilmore Girls revival series that was only 4 episodes. Year in the Life of the Gilmore Girls on Netflix. Which, if you haven't watched Gilmore Girls, I don't care what you think about me for saying this, but it's worth a watch. It's really well written. I am getting so far afield from this article. Let's get back into it. A.O. Davis, president, Disney branded television. Its hilarious and heartfelt portrayal of a lovable, chaotic family resonated with audiences of all ages, and we're so excited to welcome the original cast back to bring the magic to life again. I'm going to put a little asterisk there because it's not the original cast, not the entire original cast. Let's do this. I am the buh. Search for Malcolm. Malcolm in the Middle. Cast, because I'm going to forget the kids' names. So we have his brother Francis, played by Christopher Masterson, also known as the younger brother for Danny Masterson, who we are not supposed to talk about anymore, right? And then Eric Persullivan, who was the little brother, who honestly I haven't seen for some time. The last thing I remember seeing him in was Christmas with the Cranks, which was right about the same time that this show was on TV. Apparently he was in Armageddon, Cider House Rules in 99, Malcolm in the Middle, nothing recent. Last credit was 2002. Well, no, I take that back, 2010, still, 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago. And apparently Christmas with the Cranks was during Malcolm in the Middle. Anyway, again, getting a little off base. Let's get back. Malcolm in the Middle literally changed the face of television comedy landscape when it premiered 2 decades ago, redefining the genre, what the genre could be, said Carrie Burke, president at 20th Television. When Linwood Boomer suggested it might be time to bring everyone's favorite dysfunctional family back for a bit of a reunion, we couldn't think of a more iconic and influential series to revisit, along with a truly brilliant cast to reunite. And there's Frankie's video, apparently, right there. That's pretty awesome. That's really great. All right. So, check on chat real quick one more time. Towards the end, it was kind of emotional. I just watched the Honest trailers for Venom 3 this morning, I think, because we've been basically bedridden all day. And apparently you're not alone in thinking that the end was a little emotional, because even the Honest Trailers guys are talking about how the end kind of made them tear up a little bit. So that's pretty funny. Was honestly really not that great. Eh. All right, so we covered everything that's in the thumbnail. Let's go to... Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. We have all of this stuff to talk about. So last week's thumbnail, before I changed it, was talking about music being evil again, and then we never talked about that because we'd spent so much time on that Loudwire article that I didn't feel like... It was worth it to go back into music, which was probably a poor decision on my part. So let's talk about, there are two very specific instances of why I made that the thumbnail. First of which is Cradle of Filth. This shirt that has been put out, you can't really see it because they've censored it in the image here on Metal Injection. But this shirt says, "Jesus is a see you next Tuesday." This was taken at a Costco. Yes, Costco in Lake Macquarie, Australia. And the lady was demanding that Costco apologize to her because of what one of their patrons was wearing. Tried to get Costco management to get the person to leave, which went over exactly as well as you'd expect, and even said she, quote, could have ripped it off of her herself. Because that's what you want to do when you're trying to prove a point. Commit assault and look like an insane person. Yes, this is why Metal Injection is one of the best music outlets out there. Okay, so Costco responded with a statement saying that... saying this. "Hello all, I hope it doesn't upset anyone, but I was shopping at Costco..." Oh no, this is the ladies... comment. What is... Oh, there's the shirt right there. Ha! So this is what she said to the world about it. "Hello all, I hope this doesn't upset anyone, but I was shopping at Costco Boolaroo yesterday and was confronted by this utterly disgusting t-shirt wearing bogan," probably some sort of weird Australian slang, "and I politely asked the management to remove this horrible person from the store because her shirt was so confronting and upsetting a lot of people. Guess what? The answer I got was, 'Sorry, we can't ask her to leave the store.' May I ask why not? Isn't that management's job to not have a war break out inside the store? I could have ripped it off her myself. I was so shocked and angry. Please, Costco, have a few general decency standards. Absolutely appalling. I won't be shopping at Costco again, and I'm writing to the Costco general manager." And Danny's response was, "As will I, Karen, as will I." Oh, so that really made me chuckle. And then the best one... Where did it go? Where did it go? This one? I think this is everything in it. Okay. So, a few weeks ago, because like I said, last week was a lot of catch-up, which is another reason why we totally just went past this. Even though I had planned on it, I still have the bookmark. a couple weeks ago, Knocked Loose, which is a hardcore band from somewhere in the middle of the States. I don't know exactly where they're from. New York, maybe? I don't know. But they're good. If you like hardcore music, it's kind of like Mickey Mouse hardcore because their vocalist has a very high-pitched voice. Like, legit, on the song that they performed at the Jimmy Kimmel Show, it features Poppy, the vocalist, the pop vocalist, the alt-pop vocalist. And when I'm listening to it, when it comes on, sometimes it's hard for me to differentiate Poppy's parts from the actual lead singer part, his name being Brian Garris. So yeah, it's pretty funny and I love it. The breakdown on this song is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, so Knocked Loose. Let's read the article from Metal Injection. Brought crushing heaviness to the masses during a November 26th performance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Metal fans were thrilled. Some complaining-ass parents got mad on Facebook about it, and a boatload of new fans surely brought into the genre because of it. All right, so this is the link I think we want. Right there. Yeah, that's the image I remember. According to The Mirror, which I thought was a UK-based publication, but I could be wrong. One particularly dramatic Facebook user recounted the show's impact on their teenage son, writing, quote, "I was sitting on the couch with my son, who is an adolescent, waiting to see the musical guest because we like the nice music the show usually books. By the third or fourth junt from the guitars, my son was in tears. He doesn't like scary things, and quite frankly, I think the Kimmel Show and its staff should make a formal apology. Again, people feeling like this was done to them." Oh, it's so funny. You have to personalize and internalize everything, do you? Another keyboard warrior detractor echoed the age-old metal critique. The lyrics were unintelligible and the screaming was unbearable. Quote, "If I have to read the lyrics, I'll just read them and not listen to someone yell them." Another frustrated commenter expressed disdain for the chaotic energy, saying, This what not enjoyable. Set in context. "And you can't understand more than 5% of the lyrics. Moshing doesn't equal dancing. The confusion in their typos only seemed to amplify the melodrama." A, quote, "music expert" went on to say, "It wasn't even music. How do I sing along with this? LOL, sounds like just screaming in frenzy to me. Actually starting to hurt my ears. People who listen to this have no room to complain about crying babies or screaming two-year-olds taking a tantrum. Haha, unreal. They call this music, Jimmy?" What? So here's the thing about Jimmy Kimmel. The music portions of Jimmy Kimmel. We're not going to get into the actual person of Jimmy Kimmel because we're not going to be here all damn night talking about how he's broken in so many ways. But he has had some great metal acts on his show throughout the years. Slipknot being one of them. Slipknot would make the guys in Knocked Loose pee their pants if we're talking about scary things. Because of the horror-themed masks and costumes and the just, like, you go back and look at an image of Clown from Iowa time, the second record, and his mask had literally a pentagram carved into it with a section of brain exposed. These people are insane. Oh, and it's so much fun. As you can imagine, on the other side of the spectrum, many took to X and praised the moment as a watershed event for heavy music on national television. Why is this such a big deal? They have metal acts on there all the time. As previously mentioned, Slipknot, who is arguably one of the most influential metal artists today. So, whatever. One fan highlighted the potential impact on young viewers, tweeting, "Some kid is going to be up late tonight casually watching Jimmy Kimmel and hear Knocked Loose for the first time, and they're going to say, I want to start a fucking band like that and change their whole life. That's how important this is." Yes, I totally agree with that. Every time they have a metal act on a show like this, Slipknot very famously also performed on Conan O'Brien back in the day, which was probably the first time an extreme metal act like that had ever been on broadcast television. It's amazing. I had known about them long previous to that performance, but yeah, if that was the first time seeing them, I would have absolutely had similar comments to say about, like was just quoted by this kid here. One YouTube commenter summed it up when saying, "I'm an old guy, I don't listen to this style of music, but I can appreciate the primal emotion it takes to make it. Haters or losers, these kids rocked." Hell yeah. And then it has a link to it. So yeah, music is evil again. Let's keep it that way, shall we? Okay. Where are we? Let's, was there anything else that really happened? I mean, if there was, we'll probably cover it on the first show of the new year. So I'm not going to be ending the stream. I'm just going to be adjusting things for a moment. I think I might actually just be able to click the button. Let's see. Hopefully it doesn't break anything. Where is it? Fighter scene.
Come here!
Yeah. Here we go. Okay, so we're going to play a little bit of the combats and maybe something else. Let me grab my mic stand real quick and we will get going. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. There we go. Okay, so apparently I was watching YouTube earlier. Let's roll. Where are my vertical sources? Let's make that not as visible. Let's get into it. I love that image of Scorpion. It's pretty great. Though I have a cooler costume for him now in this game, and I think I want to do a new background. Oh yeah, no, it was Kimmel, not Fallon. It was Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon... I don't know that there's been any remarkable metal performances on Jimmy Fallon. I think... No, I really don't think there's been any sort of remarkable metal performances on Jimmy Fallon. I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain. Let's go to Towers of Time, see what the new qualifications are. Fairly certain that there has not been a significant metal performance. Also, before we get into the actual gaming and such, I want to say thank you to our audio listeners who are listening to the news, because I'm not going to be playing video games on the audio portion, so this is where we're signing off. Thank you very much, nerds. We'll see you after the new year, so very likely going to be at least one, maybe two, maybe more if I, you know, can get my schedule together. Reaction videos between here and the end of the year. Trying to keep things active on the Clips channel, because that seems to be the one that gets the most traffic. And yeah, stay tuned for all the things. Shout outs again to Dubby for partnering with the channel. Use code GENERALLYNERDY at checkout. The website is dubby.gg. There is a link in the description if you want to go get your, you don't want to, you know, type things in. You can just click the link. Again, use code GENERALLYNERDY at checkout to get 10% off, which makes your drinks just slightly more than a dollar each, which you really can't beat that price and you really can't beat the effectiveness. So I like Dubby. You should try Dubby. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but you should give it a shot. And yeah, let's move along with the show. I need headphones. No. You too, Chris. I appreciate your face, bud. Stay tuned to the socials for when the next stream is going live. I mean, again, it's the off season, so I can't guarantee anything, but I'm hoping the first week after the new year probably we'll see a stream. I don't know that the second week will. There's a couple of things coming up in January that might get in the way of things, and then we'll be back to regular episodes by the end of January, come February, if I have all of my assets in order, which I'm making good progress on. So, pretty awesome. I appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for joining there, sir, and we will see you on the next one.